Go to the Gospel of Matthew, hearing Matthew's account here of the resurrection, at least partly his account. I'm going to read only 15 verses of Matthew 28. And that's really much of it for Matthew anyway. Hear now God's word coming from the Gospel of Matthew, the last chapter in Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 15. Ye people of the Lord, hear ye your God. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus to them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. May God bless the hearing of his word through the reading of it in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord Jesus, indeed bless thy word to us. May it swell our hearts to overflowing. May we believe it fill our minds so that we cannot disbelieve. It's on our mind all the time. And what must we do but to learn more about it and to, of course, pray over it, and to talk about it, to devote ourselves at home to your ways, and to come and gather for worship Sabbath after Sabbath, as you have instructed according to commandment. We praise and thank you, Lord, that you are here with your people this day. In worship, we pray in your name, Lord Jesus, be with us now. Amen. Well, it was 40 days that he remained. He appeared 10 times, as I mentioned before, in 10 different situations there. And he had a purpose with those appearances. One of the purposes, as read the commentaries and such, one of the purposes for his appearance, his appearing, was to prove him, to prove that he rose from the dead, and to prove it to those whom he had said so. He gave his word. He talked about it. It was, in a way of speaking, a promise. And so he proves it to them. And he appears to his disciples again and again, not just to his immediate disciples, but to others as well, who were his followers, to secure them. Another reason why he appeared, stayed 40 days, and appeared several times to people, is to his disciples, is he wanted to show them the nature of the resurrection. He had changed. He was the same, but he was different. And they learned about that on each appearance of his of his manifesting himself to them. And also a third reason given why the resurrection is to teach different things about it. He was teaching different people to whom he appeared different things. And one of his appearances was to these women. In fact, the first of two appearances were to these women before he actually appeared to his disciples, which was probably his third appearance by then. He appeared twice, once to Mary Magdalene individually, it seems, it appears, and then once again here. And you need to read the four gospel accounts. You'll find that the synoptics seem to agree and report the same thing. John's is a little different. And so there are, it seems, two appearances to these women. I want to talk about that, the appearance here to these women first, and then I want to speak about a comforting word, which is the gospel word that he brings. He tells the women in just a sentence. He shows the women. He tells the women to bring to his disciples before he actually appears to them in that closed room, and then finally to talk about the command that he gives to them, his disciples, as by implication to us as well. So first, this this appearance, the women, as you may know, are going to the sepulcher to embalm the body, right? And as you can suspect, they're very sad. And perhaps in their sadness, when they finally took him to the down from the cross and took him to the tomb where that Joseph of Arimathea provided, they may have forgotten to embalm him that Friday. Well, it turns out that the Passover begins in the evening, in the night, and so they couldn't do it on the Sabbath day. So they're coming in the morning on Sunday after the Sabbath. The Sabbath on Saturday at that point. They come on the first of the Sabbath morns, the Sunday, to embalm the body. And so here they come and they realize, oh, who's going to roll away this stone? It's, you know, a 2-ton stone. You know, at least, well, maybe at least 1 ton, probably more than that. The women are not going to be able to roll that stone away to do this. Well, they discover that it's already rolled away, and this is an amazing thing. So they go to investigate, and they go into the sepulcher. It's carved in the mountainside there in the rock, and they enter in the cave, and they find that he is missing. He's not there. What's going on? Well, all of a sudden, to their amazement, as if they weren't amazed by the fact, by the absence of the body, to their amazement, an angel appears to them. A real angel. You know, this is not something that you hear about people witnessing that they've seen an angel or they've seen Jesus or they've, you know, they have these visions these days. I don't believe any of them, quite frankly. I don't think you should. I have to believe the Bible. I have to believe the miracles and the message of the Bible. I don't have to believe anything else that people say. And I suggest you don't. Yeah, there's a new book out, this kid went to heaven and all that. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He was hallucinating, he was under drugs. I don't know. I can't explain it. But I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe a word of it. Although I think he does, and he's not lying. But you can't go and believe that angels are appearing to people as people are witnessing today. They're saying that these things, that they believe that angels appear to them. Well, again, I know that the Bible is true. It's the Word of God. It's the only Word of God. And these angels did appear to these women. And we know why. Because the Son of God was still in the earth. And there's miraculous things happening when God is present. Obviously miraculous thing. God is still present in the earth. In the person of Jesus Christ. And so there's still miracles surrounding him. And a miraculous appearance of an angel telling these women a message. And the message was, go tell my brethren to meet me. I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Not in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, there was a commotion and there's a lot of trouble. Let's go to Galilee first. Let's meet there. You'll be safe there. He was concerned about them. Not himself, obviously, but their lives. So they're so full of enthusiasm here, fear, joy mixed in. They are going and running to tell the disciples this very message that the angel did give them. Their joy overcame their fear. And as they listened to the message that the Lord was giving them to give to his disciples, they began to understand that this is for real. That the angel's message was real. The Lord appears to them and says, all hail to them, which means may it be well with thee. And then he tells them what to do. Go to the disciples, tell them that I have risen from the grave. And they are just amazed. What is their response? What is the natural response when you hear for the first time the resurrected Savior? To worship him. That's what these women did. They fell at his feet and began to worship him. That is the response of someone who's truly resurrected, who knows the resurrected Savior. There are a lot of people that hear about it. It doesn't affect them. How do we know? Because they don't worship the Lord. This is a natural response. When you hear the word of God, from God, God's Son, fall down at his feet and worship him. And that's what they did. That was their first response in their amazement. And what did he tell them? This brings me to the second thing I want to say about this message, this single line that we hear. Well, he says, do not be afraid, but go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. So that's the message. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that that's the only word besides all hail, the greeting that he gave. That's the word that he said to these women. Go tell them. Don't be afraid, because obviously they were. They didn't understand everything yet. They didn't understand anything. And that was part of the resurrection deal. That was one of the reasons why he rose from the grave, to talk about it, to prove it, yes, but to talk about it, to teach them what it meant. That it was witnessed to in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. Let me show you. And as I said last time, at a thousand points he showed them, he proved that the Old Testament was speaking about him. The Tanakh, the the Torah, the five books of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms, the writings, were all speaking of him. Now he tells these women to tell my brethren. This is significant. He called them brethren, brothers and sisters. He said this on occasion when his mother and family were trying to get in to see him. They told Jesus that your mother and your family's here to see you. And he said, who are my family? Who is my family? He said, those who do my Father's will are my brothers and sisters. He said, if you're kind to one that is hungry, a brother who is hungry or thirsty, or visit him in prison, heal his wound or whatever, help him when he's sick. You're kind to the least of these, my brethren. You're kind to me. You've done it to me. He calls them brothers and sisters. He called them when he was before his crucifixion, and he calls them this now. Go and tell my brethren, which, of course, points up that we are a family, that they belong to a family, and it's called the family of God. God is their father. Jesus Christ is the eldest brother. And these disciples, these followers of him, are his brothers. And these women are his sisters. Now, this is an amazing thing. Think about it. Think what a comforting gospel word this is, that he gives these women to tell his disciples who had what? Just a little while ago fled from him. They rejected him. And it's said, certain commentators point this out, that it wasn't so much out of fear that they fled away, that they didn't want to have anything to do with him, that Peter, as a matter of fact, denied him three times. It was fear, for sure. They were afraid. But it was also because he didn't measure up. See, they had thought that he was Messiah. And Messiah, as I've mentioned before to you, wasn't supposed to be killed. The prophets and all, they didn't see that coming. They didn't make the connect necessarily between Messiah and the cross. The suffering servant of Isaiah and Messiah. You mean the suffering servant is Messiah? Is the anointed one? They didn't really get that. And the disciples here didn't get it. They thought that he was to restore the kingdom of God, that he was to crush the imperial power of Rome and to lift up and exalt Jerusalem, the holy city, and the people of God. So he didn't measure up to their standard, to what they thought. Here he's at a trial, he's crucified, he's dead, he's buried, and this is not what we expected. And they lost faith, in a sense. And that's also a reason why they fled. And they rejected him. And yet so the amazing thing is, he says to these women, go and tell my brothers, I've risen. He still calls them brothers. See? That is a very comforting. When you think about what these disciples have been through and what they had done in their haste, and how they repudiated him, rejected him. Peter, who promised he would never do that, did it three times. This is an amazing thing that he calls them brothers. And why is that? Because he accomplished at the cross, he accomplished the forgiveness of all their sins, including that one, the rejection that they gave. And all the crowd as well who yelled, "Crucify, crucify," he said, "Forgive them for that sin." And 3,000 of them were forgiven on the day Peter preached at Pentecost. That prayer was answered as well. It was on the basis of the cross of Christ, the dying at the cross of Christ, the shedding of his blood, that all their sins were forgiven, so that they are right with God, that they are still a part of the family of God, even though they did this monstrous thing to him. I'm not saying I'd be any different, and I don't think you would say that either, right? That had all this happened and I was there, even though I heard him speak this wonderful, wonderful message that for 3 years he taught me personally, and even though I saw these wonderful miracles happening, marvelous things happening that no one could explain, it was just beyond imagining what he did. And he literally raised someone from the dead 4 days, wrapped in cloth, grave cloths. And he put eyes in sockets that were empty. He created eyes out of dirt and put them in the person's head. He took arms that were all shriveled up or didn't even exist, and there it was, an arm, a new arm. I mean, he did amazing things right in front of them. Couldn't deny it. You know, we hear about all the miracles going on. We never see them. I've never seen a miracle. Have you seen a miracle? I've never seen one right in front of my eyes. But this disciples, one after the other. And still, I think I would have done the same thing as Peter did. Rejected him. Denied him. Because I didn't understand. I was afraid. And so, but he brings them back. He calls them back. And he says that you are forgiven based on the sacrifice that he has made. And he does that with us all the time, doesn't he? Because, let's face it, we reject him too. We do not think that his way is really the best way. I mean, I've heard it said by family, by friends, by some of you, that I just don't think that God would mean that. That God would really want me to do that or be that way. That God would not demand that we be so otherworldly and spiritual and not relate to this worldly wreck that's out there, this mess that's out there. That we have to reach out to them. In order to reach out to them, we have to become like them to some extent. We have to get into their music, and we have to get into their ways, and we have to talk like them. We have to walk like them. We have to dress like them. I mean, come on. God wouldn't be so critical against us, you see? And we reject his way. We repudiate him again and again every day of our lives. When we don't stand up for Jesus in all our affairs. Right? But he calls us brothers and sisters because he forgives all of our sins, including that sin, based on his sacrifice at the cross. And we love him for it, don't we? Really. When we come back to our senses after we've been intoxicated by sin and we get sober again, we come back to our senses and we love him for it. We know, Lord, I have sinned. I have rejected your ways. I have done things wrong. I have turned my back on you. Oh, how many times? I've stopped counting. Honestly, I've stopped counting. It's too depressing. And you've forgiven everyone. And I'm called your brother Your sister. What a comforting word. Well, this brings us then to another word that he did tell them to go into Galilee, and there you shall see me, and there I will appear. He didn't say that here, but he, in fact, that's exactly what happened. He did say that. He said that you'll see me, which means that he will appear, because after all, his resurrected body is different, right? It's the same, but it's different. He's invisible, right? In our resurrected bodies, we're invisible. At least Jesus was invisible, and he has to appear, like, into the room they were. He was with them, talking with them on the road to Emmaus, but they couldn't tell who he was, and then he let it happen. So there's something different about his body. It doesn't have blood in it now, right? The blood poured out. There's no blood in heaven, right? When we are resurrected, we're not going to have blood. It's not going to be flesh. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that somewhere in the Bible? Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom. Does that mean we're not going to have blood? What about our flesh? Well, our flesh has to change too. It's flesh, yeah. It's called flesh, but it's different, right? This is different. Jesus appears and disappears. And the reason why he gathers them together and then appears to the disciples is this one main thing. This is, like I said, the resurrection has different, he has different reasons for doing this. And here he is about 500 followers around. He appears before his disciples now. Why? To gather them together. Because they're a family. These are his brothers, his brethren. And brothers and sisters are to be gathered together in the family. And that's what his resurrection, he was doing in the 40 days that he appeared at different times. He appeared was to gather his people together. Because remember what the prophet said, remember what he said, that strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. They were all scattered. They were all over the place, as they say. And his resurrection and his appearance is one of the reasons why, was to gather his family together. Bring them together. And under this main point, that he is truly resurrected. That's what makes us a family. And now he tells us, his disciples, he tells them, his disciples, to whom he appears, to whom he gathers together, go and gather some more. And through your message, I am with you always, go and gather some more from all the nations now, starting at Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of, the world, gather my family to me. Through the cross and the resurrection. And that's why it's so important to preach the cross and the resurrection, and to believe them both. They gather us together as a family. They bring us together. Those who are in the church, to bring those family members who are born to Christians that are in the church, to gather them together, but also to gather those who are outside the church now, who are lost and need to be found, to bring them and gather them and bring them into the church, into the family of God. And that's why it's so important to teach the resurrection. It's to gather us who are forgiven in Christ. So what a wonderful remembrance we have today of this. We should remember it all the time, right? It's the gospel. It's core. It should be our conversation piece often. Dear people, let's witness and let's go and help gather Christ's own. into the family of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord Jesus, we praise and thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth, as we have often said and believed, to the saving of our souls. It's the only spiritual word of truth. There is none other. And we are thankful that we have come to know this, not because we're better than the rest or more intelligent than others or because we have more sensible men and women, but because of Your grace, because of Your Spirit, because You have given us the ability, eyes with which to see, ears with which to hear and understand and perceive the things of God. Bless us on our way now this day, O Lord. Lead us in the everlasting way. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 268. 268.